the one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
Yo, 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 it's Westside Goth from not-so-sunny California. It's a little gloomy out, but it's still, like, almost summer weather right now.
Here. It's like fucking 45 degrees out here.
Well, see, and it's weird because the people in Cali are like, man, when is that winter weather going to hit? I wanted to be in the low 60s, early 50s. I mean, high 50s. But none of that right here now. So, Doomsday, what's up?
Yes, I am here, as usual, and once again, this is a tag team match scheduled for one fall.
Yes, Pootie was injured with, I guess you could say a textbook to the head, because he's now got to absorb information. Hopefully we can get him on before or after the Survivor Series.
Yeah.
Big show. When Survivor Series is next weekend or the weekend after?
Next weekend. Not this weekend, but next weekend, yeah. Because they have a Brock Lesnar appearance on Raw next week.
See, before. I don't know if I can deal with Survivor Series next weekend and NXT, because I got Justice League and Punisher. I'm set for the fucking weekend.
Oh, fuck. Damn, dude. Oh, my God.
It's just too much shit for a weekend off.
That's so heavy, dude.
Yeah.
Yo, I wish Justice League and Punisher came out this weekend because I have a long fucking weekend because Friday I'm off. So. Yeah, so that would have been perfect.
Yeah. I'll probably see Justice League after work, and then when I get home, I'll start watching Punisher. I'm going to watch the rest of it Saturday. But yeah, that's too much entertainment for those days.
I don't
know.
See, what I'm going to do, I'm going to watch Punisher. We'll start watching Punisher on Friday night. And then Saturday morning, I'm going to kiss that matinee for Justice League.
Well, you know, I work morning. So my way home, I can just get dropped off by at the fucking mall. I mean, at the mall. At the fucking theater by my house. And then
oh,
walk.
Nice.
Yeah. 15 minutes back to the house, so yeah. Works out like that. So, and I'll get, like, I get off at basically matinee time, so I shouldn't be anything farther than, like, a 10:30 show. Unless it's, like, 3D, and I'll be like,
right.
I don't want 3D. But, already getting off topic, and we're here to talk about wrestling. And, yeah. And I'll tie this to back to wrestling because you were sure as hell have been seeing commercials for the Justice League while watching WWE. Let's be honest here.
Oh, yeah.
So, easy tie back. So, first we're going to start talking about the big New Japan show because there was some news coming out of that. Well, there's one piece of news that everyone was buzzed about and was asking Dave Meltzer stupid questions about it because whenever New Japan does something, somebody asks Dave Meltzer a stupid question. So, but let's run this down. Did you watch the show?
I watched, like, the first half of it and couldn't finish. Because I've been busy and shit.
Yeah. Well, definitely if you can, the main event is fucking awesome. But I'll go through it. We'll start with the dark match, pre-show match. Did they even know that pre-show dark matches don't need to be aired? Because they do it.
Oh, yeah. So, I love that, man.
they air it, and because we watch it on VOD, but they air it, and then they just go back to the please be patient, we'll start soon. And I'm like, okay, time to skip 20 minutes.
Right.
Yeah. All right. So the pre-show match was David Finlay taking on Katsuya Kitamura, and David Finlay beat him. It was an okay little match. It was just a little over 5.5 minutes, but you know, it was there to get the early crowd in happy. And until the rest of the crowd fit in. The show properly started with the Young Bucks defeating Dragon Lee and Tatan. Always have to be the emphasis on his name because it's spelled Titan usually, but it has that little accent mark over the I. It was a pretty good match. It was short, though. Apparently, that new sharpshooter crippler crossface double team they do,
yeah,
it's called the cease and desist.
Okay, I'll get a chuckle out of that.
Yeah. Guys really leaning in and making that money. All right. We had a 10-man tag with non-affiliated New Japan wrestlers defeating Suzuki-gun. It was short. It was hot. It was pretty decent. It was just under 5 minutes and 30 seconds. It was okay, Raw. New Japan old dudes, Tenkoji and Togi Magabe. I saw that tweet you replied to about, well, I'll get to that later. But yeah. You know the one where someone was making fun of old guys in the New Japan locker room. Like, I get your point, but there's a bunch of old guys anyway.
There's a bunch of motherfuckers there that's old already. This dude's older than the person that they were talking about. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Like, you obviously don't fucking pay attention.
Yeah. Well, old New Japan dudes beat Kota, Yujiro, Takahashi, Chase Owens. It was okay match. I thought it was better than some.
And then sometimes they'll have dudes in their fucking 60s make appearances and shit. Like Fujiwara.
Yeah, New Japan's all about tradition. Like WWE is.
Yeah.
I don't know what the fuck these people's problem is. And let's be honest, Kojima and Togi Makabe still look like they can knock the fuck out of these young guns. These guys are beefy. Now, obviously, Tenzan can't walk for his shit, right?
Almost.
Probably gets blown up on the way to the rink. Let's get that guy a motor scooter, for God's sakes. But, yeah, they beat Cody, Yujiro, and Chase Owens. Chase Owens was really good in this match. He was mocking Tenzan's moves. He was mocking Kojima's moves. He was working really hot. Chase has been, working hard. I'm liking him, even though he is a fall guy, but, you know, still. All right, Super Junior Tag Tournament Final. Roppongi 3K defeated Super 69. Yo and Sho, I think, are the first. This is the first time the tag champion actually won their tournament. I think a lot of time the tag champions get knocked out in the opening round. Like last year, the Young Bucks got actually knocked off by Taji Ishimori and ACH in the opening match. And ACH went to the finals last year of this tournament, too, with Ishimori, I believe. I might be the year before. I can't. Some of these things get together. But still.
Yeah, I don't remember.
But still, Taguchi and ACH were a pretty good tag team. ACH was actually doing Taguchi's coach stuff by making him do run the corner drills, which I think is funny. And the thing I like about Taguchi is, I mean, obviously he leans to comedy, but he's a great mat wrestler. And then sometimes he'll snap and just fucking WCW cruiserweight that shit. Like, dives to the outside, springboard moves, like, it's like shit, man. This 34-year-old, I don't know, he's about my age, a little, maybe a little older. But yeah, this guy is doing more dives than dudes on 205 Live. And he's doing more dives than Rich Swann. That should not be happening, right?
Yeah, man.
But this was a fun match. It was just under 16 minutes. The Young Bucks came out and challenged, so we got another match for Wrestle Kingdom 12 right there. And I'll run through the current Wrestle Kingdom 12 card. I'll pull it up in a minute. We have the 10-man tag match of Chaos versus Los Ingobernables de Japón. They were in Osaka, so Osaka was booing Naito. So, you know, they're all over him. But that's Naito's heel home right there. So this was a fun match, very action-packed. The Rainmaker knocked Bushi out, and while Okada was pinning Bushi, he did Naito's little eye thing while Naito was on the ground. Match was just over 12 minutes. All right, we get the announcement for New Japan's return to the Long Beach. They're not going to be at the convention center, which sort of depresses me because the convention center, I've been there a bunch of times. They're going to be at the Long Beach University at the Walter Pyramid, which is supposed to be a bigger location, but it's a little bit farther out, so I'll still try to go to it. Alright, now here we go. We're getting into the single titled matches. We had their open weight titled the Bull Rope match. Minoru Suzuki defeated Toru Yano. I'm glad he defeated Yano because I don't want to see Yano as a singles champion.
No way.
I can deal with him in some cases, but he should not be a singles champion. Yeah.
You'll still, you'll still in the entertaining match, though.
Yeah, it was entertaining. I mean, I thought Yano was smart to try to attack Suzuki at the start of the match without having the rope on him. And then Suzuki traps his arm in an armbar while the ref does the bull rope stuff.
My one question, though. Why was no one from Chaos helping Yano?
Oh, Goto came out.
Yeah, he just the one guy. Like, how many dudes did Suzuki have on his corner?
At least three. Maybe
that shit was
six.
Not fair. Yeah, he had
no,
at least three.
No, it's never fair.
He had at least...
To be honest with you, lately, Goto's the only guy who comes out and does shit like this.
Yeah. Yo, like, Chaos is so disjointed, I swear.
Yeah. I remember someone posted a picture, like, this is why you don't ever see Goto come out to save anyone. It was just Goto backstage. He was in his wrestling, gear, and he was playing some video game backstage somewhere. And I'm like, well, okay, that makes fucking sense. But yeah, Goto came out there. So, could be leading to a Goto rematch to win the title back from Minoru. I mean, I know some people say Goto had a lacking run, but I liked Goto's run. I liked his title win against Shibata. It was one of my favorite matches this year. I liked his match against Juice. I liked his match against Zack Sabre Jr. I thought it was a pretty good run. All right, next up, we had the IWGP Junior Heavyweight title match, and Marty Scurll defeated Will Ospreay to become the new champion. So,
I didn't see it, but that was some bullshit to me. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I wasn't happy. The match was good. I wanted Ospreay to keep it, but it looks like they wanted to put all four of their I hate calling these guys the four top juniors, because I'm pretty sure Taguchi's more popular than half these guys, but they are probably the... I understand that Taguchi's, in his mid-30s, and I don't think he's all that interested in being the guy to hold up the division, whereas Skrull, Ospreay, Kushida, and Hiromu, are guys who you can lead the division with. And it's kind of sad, too, because I'm actually interested to see what Taguchi and Skrull would do in a match, because I've seen Taguchi wrestle all three the other guys. I mean, Taguchi had a great match against Kushida at Best of Super Juniors. Taguchi's match with Will Ospreay from last Best of Super Junior Finals was amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
That tournament was the tournament that made me realize that Taguchi was really fucking good. And that Taguchi match against Hiromu earlier this year was really good, too. But, this is going to be the first singles four-corner. I don't know if it's an elimination match or not, but yeah, so we got four guys vying for the title at Wrestle Kingdom 12. So we'll see. I guess Ospreay has a habit of losing to Skrull just repeatedly. Like, I don't get it, but whatever. All right, next up we have the IWGP US Heavyweight title match. Kenny Omega defeated Beretta in a really good match, and something happened slightly on Twitter that kind of annoyed me about this. That one GIF maker, he retweeted a GIF of a move that that Beretta did, which was this kind of weird sliding German suplex. Mm-hmm. And he was like, man, he stole that move from Extremely Cute, right? Because, calling out stealing moves like that.
Right.
I mean, sometimes I get it, sometimes I don't. But then, like, 12 hours later, Trent said, yeah, I stole that move from... Morrison, what's his name? Morrison.
John Morrison.
They stole that move from Morrison, who stole it from this guy, who stole it from this guy, who stole it from Extremely Cute. So he knew where the move was from.
Right.
And he detailed everyone else who was doing that move, and he wasn't doing it mockingly, and he wasn't replying to this guy. He was acknowledging it. So I had the gift maker trying to make some shit about him stealing the move, but Beretta played, gave respect to where it came from. I think these guys need to calm the fuck down.
Yeah.
But this was a good match. Beretta came off looking really good, but of course Kenny Omega was going to keep the title, let's be honest, right?
Of course.
And then, sadly, this was kind of spoiled for me because I went on Twitter real quick because I was getting ready to get to the point where I can watch the show and tweet, so this was like the first thing I saw when I got on Twitter. But, after Kenny does his, who's going to come out here and challenge me now, he waited, and then they did the promo for Chris Jericho. So, the former WWE champion, one of the great Intercontinental champions, the guy who's won almost every belt in WWE and has wrestled all around the world, is coming to New Japan to face Kenny Omega. And we all knew Chris Jericho was going to fight Kenny Omega somewhere down the line with the Twitter, but I didn't think anybody expected it to be Wrestle Kingdom. So, yeah. They're billing it as Alpha versus Omega, so.
Alpha versus Omega, that's a good tagline.
Yeah. And this leads to my Dave Meltzer thing, because some people are like, so is Jericho and Omega going to headline the Dome? Are they going to be the semi-main event? Fuck no!
Fuck no. Yeah, that's stupid as hell.
Yeah, you're not going to fucking put... Like, I get Kenny is bigger internationally, but in Japan, let's be honest, no one's bigger than Okada and Naito. And they got the main event, and they got, what, 4 or 5 years of history for that main event? That shit is going down. That's the match that's really selling the show. Omega Jericho is to further push the Western audience to tune in. Yeah, you guys aren't all flying out to fucking Japan to watch this match. Calm down. The Japanese are going to take this. And I'm pretty sure the IC title has to be the semi-main event anyway. But yeah, Jericho versus Omega, it is official. And that leads to the main event, which I really fucking liked. The IWGP Intercontinental title defense. Hiroshi Tanahashi successfully defended the title against Kota Ibushi. And this this match was better than the two previous matches I've seen against them. I really fucking liked this match, and I highly recommend it if anyone hasn't seen it. Especially whenever Ibushi gets angry, it is fucking beautiful. There's this great bit where he's in the corner, and he's just doing these open-hand strikes on Tanahashi and stomping him and punching him in the ref. Comes over to try to pull him away, and then Ibushi just holds the ref's wrist. He's looking at him. At the same time, he just keeps stomping Tanahashi in the fucking corner. I mean, and I get anxiety watching freaking Tanahashi now, too, because it's always like, his arm is still bad, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So when he did the that ugly-ass German suplex over the rope. You know the one, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm like, don't do it, man. Don't... Oh, God. But really fucking liked this match. And, so he wins. He does the extended, obviously, he does the extended bit with the air guitar because it's a Tanahashi main event. Can't go home until he does 30 minutes of air guitar, right?
Right.
But after the 30 minutes of air guitar, we finally got to see the Switchblade, who was Jay White coming out looking like baby Kenny Omega. They threw down and he hit him with the that flatliner move. So Jay White is challenging Hiroshi Tanahashi at Wrestle Kingdom. So this is what we got for Wrestle Kingdom. Oh, there is one more thing. And this, I don't know if this was actually on the stream because I turned off after Jay White hit the move because, you know, show was already fucking long, right?
Right.
But backstage during Ibushi's post-match press conference, guess who strunters in like a supervillain?
Cody Rhodes.
Yep. What was it? He was in a red suit, right? So. He was looking like he should be telling Batman where the bodies are buried, but, you know. He came in and started mocking Kota Ibushi and essentially told him he needed a challenger for Wrestle Kingdom 12. So that's actually a pretty high-profile match, Cody Rhodes versus Kota Ibushi. So this is, I don't know if that's technically official yet, but that's probably, yeah, it's official. So here we go. We have Kenny Omega versus Chris Jericho, IWGP U.S. Heavyweight title match. And I think what they're doing is, in Japan, Omega's going to be wrestling For non-Japanese people, and when he's out of sight of Japan, he might be wrestling only Japanese guys, because that's so far what it looks like, because Yoshihashi is his non-Japanese challenger from some of the recent U.S. shows. Okay, Jericho and Omega, got the Intercontinental title match, Hiroshi Tanahashi versus Jay White, title four-way match for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight title. Champion Marty Scurll versus Will Ospreay versus Kushida versus Roman Takahashi. And I should say this about Takahashi. When they were doing the in-ring thing, when Ospreay was mad, he was about to make his, you know, rematch challenge, and then Kushida comes out to jump in, right?
Right.
Hiromu came out, and he had, like, protective gear. He put on, like, a a field hockey helmet or a hockey helm mask, and he put on like the hockey goalie gloves, but they were matching to his multicolored jacket, right?
Right.
And then he slid in, like, because if you remember, and if you get in watch this, the last two times he tried to challenge didn't go well.
Osprey got laid out. Yeah,
Osprey laid him out, and then the time with Skrull went after his fingers. But even better, at the press junket that was held the next day, he wore the mask and the gloves again. And there's this part where he's getting up and Osprey's looking at him. Hiromu's trying to open the door to get out, and Osprey's like, "Do you need help?" But Hiromu's able to get it out. He looks at him and just runs out of there. But Hiromu's been on point the whole time. They were using him to advertise lip gloss for the last couple weeks, right?
I thought it was Chapstick.
Yeah, Chapstick. He had the shirt off photos of Chapstick. So when he came to the ring for the 10-man match, and he was walking to the down, he pulled the Chapstick out and used it in front of the camera. And then he did the bit with Naito with the same thing. Takahashi gets it, man. That guy just oozes fucking charisma. I kind of want him to get the belt back now. All right. We got the junior tag team title match to Roppongi 3K. Yo and Sho with Rocky Romero will be taking on the Young Bucks. We got the ROH title match. Cody defends against Kota Ibushi. And we also have the big title, Kazuchika Okada versus Tetsuya Naito. If you're just watching New Japan, this storyline goes way back to one of the G1 climaxes where Naito won. But he wasn't quite over, and Okada wasn't quite Golden Boy yet, so they led to a fan vote because they were worried about Okada versus Naito going on last, and the fans voted Nakamura Tanahashi. And then after this match, you kind of had a weird decline of Naito, even though he was the NEVER champion for a while. He was feuding with Ishii. So he was just kind of going down at the same time. Okada's stature kept improving, and he finished up his major feud with Tanahashi. Naito reinvented himself in 2015 as a member of Los Ingobernables. And quick news, our boy Naito and Takahashi are actually going down to Mexico to do some shows coming up. I think this weekend, actually. So Los Ingobernables de Japón will be teaming up with Los Ingobernables Original, I guess. But yeah, Naito improved his station. He won the title from Okada. What was it? Invasion Attack 2016. Lost it at Dominion. He only had one title defense. And they haven't had a singles match since. So, this is a big money match for New Japan, and they are going to do it as the main event for Wrestle Kingdom 12. So, if you think Omega Jericho should be the main event, shut the fuck up. But now let us get to the other news coming out of this, because it's World Tag League next weekend. Most of these matches will be on VOD. You ready for the brackets, man?
Oh, hell yeah.
Here we go. Bracket A. We're going to call this team Fuck NXT, as Juice Robinson will be teaming up with the debuting Sami Callihan.
Yo, Sami Callihan is everywhere these days.
Yes, he just showed up in TNA as well.
Yeah, I heard.
And the TNA audience didn't know who he was, so it wasn't a big deal.
Yeah, it was him and Jimmy Jacobs, right?
Yeah, apparently none of the debuts did much. I heard that show wasn't that good. We have, of course, the Los Ingobernables. Oh, and I should mention, none of the major stars are on this. Are doing the tournament matches. There's no Okada, no Naito, no Tanahashi, no Omega. So they're not in this. Which is smart, but yeah. So representing Los Ingobernables de Japón is Sonata and Evil, who I would say would have won this, but they're still 2/3 of the Trios champion, so I find it a little hard to believe, unless they lose those titles after the tournament. We have another old man group, as Yuji Nagata and Manabu Nakanishi have reunited to do this tournament. The last time they teamed up for this tournament was 2 years ago, because last year Nagata teamed with Shibata. Hope you're doing good, Shibata. And Nakanishi teamed up with Hanera, who is one of the young boys who got injured February of this year and has been missing. since then. Yujiro will be and Hangman Page are back as a tag team, another old team, another team you can trust, Tenzan and Kojima. And even though we make fun of Tenzan here for being an old guy who could barely walk, I like Tenkozy as a tag team. They're still pretty good. They still know how to go. And, you know, Kojima could pull 65% of the weight, so there's that. This year, Bad Luck Fale will be teaming with Chase Owens rather than his last year's partner, Bone Soldier, who we haven't seen since last year anyway. But, yeah. So Chase Owens is getting that at those New Japan tours, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Dope. He getting that paper, man.
Yep. Minoru Suzuki will be teaming up with that Takashi Iizuka guy. I guess Zack Sabre Jr. is busy. And the team that I think will win Block A, Hirooki Goto and Yoshihashi. The two have been, Goto has been teaming up with everybody. He teamed up with Ishii last year. This year he was teaming up with Yoshihashi. He did team up with Yano a few times with the Suzuki thing, which makes me think Goto is might be primed to face Suzuki. I don't know. I still put it on Goto and Yoshihashi as the possible winners of Bracket A, with maybe Sonata Evil being the only other one I can see going that far. But we got Bracket B, and let me tell you, man, Bracket B is fucking insane. I'm going to actually do this. All right, first let me give you the jobber team, because there's really only – well, for me, there's really only one jobber team on here. But David Finlay will be teaming up with Katsuya Kitamaru, which was a bit of a surprise. All right, then we have almost a jobber team as Togi Makabe is back, but, you know, Hama's still technically on the shelf. So who do they got teaming with Togi Makabe, you ask? Hiner is back in New Japan.
Yay.
I actually was liking Hiner, so, you know, still a young lion. He did this tournament. He had an Achilles heel injury.
Oh.
Yeah, so he was out for a while. So there's that. Okay, now the teams we know, obviously, we got Gorillas of Destiny are in this. We have the War Machine is in this. We have the Tag Team Champions Killer Elite Squad are in this. We have that tag team we didn't quite like from earlier this year, but they won the titles briefly. Tomohiro Ishii and Toru Yano are in this. But now, here are two interesting teams. We got Michael Elgin teaming up with the monster, Matanza Cueto himself. Jeff fucking Cobb.
Yeah.
Team big white guys who toss around guys.
Is Jeff Cobb, like, white? Or is he, like...
No, he's Hawaiian. I just said team big guys, I guess.
Polynesian,
yes. So, yeah. Cobb and Elgin. That is, like, a monster team right there, right? But... my favorite tag team of Bracket B, and I think a team you will appreciate, are the men who should have been the PWG Tag Team Champions,
yes.
Trent Beretta, and the Kentucky Gentleman, Chuck Taylor,
yes,
the best friend.
Chuck fucking Taylor in New Japan. Who would have thunk it?
And a member of fucking Chaos.
Who would have thunk it?
To the point where... there was a great exchange just on Twitter the other day where, and he still goes by Dustin sometimes, Dustin told asked Trent, he said, I'm worried Okada's not going to like me. Beretta said, don't worry, I got this. He tweeted Okada and said, it's important to me that you like my friend Dustin. And you know what Okada said to him?
What did he say?
He said, no, you're my best friend. So Okada gets it. So yes. Fucking Chuck Taylor, the guy who, like, what, 5 months ago, Jim Cornette went on a rant about for an old-ass viral video.
The hand grenade one?
Yes.
Yes.
Is fucking in New Japan.
Yes.
I don't know, because, you know, obviously it's Chuck Taylor and Jeff Cobb are new guys, so I don't think that the Cobb... well, you know, it's always possible Cobb and Elgin could make it simply because Elgin's, you know, been there a while and Cobb is a fucking monster. It'd be a good debut. I don't see the best friends going that far, but it's still cool to see them. I just don't want KES, War Machine, or Gorillas of Destiny to be the finalists in Bracket B, but we'll see. Most of these matches are going to be on VOD, so you can watch them whenever they get uploaded. It's spread out, so only I want to say half the shows will have four matches, and the other half the shows are just going to have two matches each. So it might be a lighter schedule if it's harder to follow. And these matches usually aren't that long anyway, like 10, 15 minutes tops. But yet is, yeah, that is the World Tag League. And I think that is pretty much all of my New Japan news, though there is a note about Jericho I have, which might have tied into his reason to work with New Japan in the first place. Do you want me to go through this or save it for news?
Yeah, hit that shit. Yeah, go ahead and hit that shit.
So, apparently, we know Jericho has the cruise coming up, and he's already announced Young Bucks and Marty Scurll. Apparently, before he teamed with Ring of Honor, he actually went to WWE first for this plan. He wanted to pull on some NXT talent and maybe mix them up with indie talent, and WWE turned it down. So, that could have been one of the reasons he engaged with him with this. There's also apparently he's been talking with New Japan since at least August, which is about the time the cruise stuff was officially announced, too. So the cruise plan might have been one of the reasons why he's coming to New Japan. It just sort of worked out. So maybe we'll get some New Japan talent on this cruise.
Oh, that would be dope, man.
Yeah.
Who would you think would be part of the cruise?
That's a tough one. I mean, obviously Kenny Omega makes the most sense.
Yeah.
But I would but of the native talent, I mean, I think I would send some of the I would send some a couple of the LIJ guys out there or a couple of the second tier Chaos guys. Hmm. You know, why not have like maybe not Goto but cuz you know, he has a family. He doesn't leave that often. But you know, maybe, like, Ishii or Yoshihashi would be fine. I'm sure, I mean, Evil, Sonata. I mean, shit. Send the full, there's only five members of LIJ. Send LIJ there, for God's sakes. That would make sense.
Yeah.
You don't have to have anybody defend any title. You could just have them do those multi-man matches. Those guys are so on point now, I don't even think they know what they're doing. They just do it. and, you know, I'm a mark for Evil and Sonata and, well, all those guys, so. I mean, I would definitely do at least some of the second-tier guys, and maybe not the main event dudes, but yeah, throw a couple of Chaos guys, throw a couple of the LIJ guys out there. Why not? I'm sure they'd like to hang out on a cruise. yeah. Apparently, back in the old days, back before New Jersey, even when, according to Bret Hart, what they used to do was... for some of the New Japan shows, they would actually have to take, like, not necessarily, like, a boat. Almost like, not like a cruise ship, but they would have to take a boat to travel to some of the places in Japan to do tours. So they were essentially doing kind of like cruises anyway. I find that interesting. But yeah, that's it. Do we want to go over Raw and SmackDown now?
Yeah, but before, actually, before that, I'm going to talk about Impact. But before that, I'm going to talk about... something that's been going on with Noam Dar. he tweeted, Pierce Morgan is a dafty, pass it on. Because he's always calling people dafty.
Yeah, I didn't see that. I know Pierce Morgan's been talking something. I didn't see that.
Yeah, Pierce Morgan's a piece of shit. He's a fucking asshole.
Yeah.
He's like sexist and racist and shit, but he kind of masks it as him being illogical and ethical or whatever. Some dumb shit. I don't know.
But, he's gay, right?
What?
Is he gay?
Pierce Morgan? No, I don't think so.
Alright. I don't know why I thought that. I thought he was one of those, like, gay guys who uses being gay to try to defend himself,
oh,
I guess.
That's like Milo Yumbalo. I can't pronounce the last name, but that one alt-right.
Fuck that alt-right bastard.
But, Pierce Morgan, like, part of his background... Of course, he would do, like, he's a quote-unquote journalist, reporter, whatever. At some point, he took over for Larry King's spot after Larry King finally retired in CNN. And it just didn't work out, and they dumped his ass. And, like, he's been back in Britain pretty much ever since and saying dumb shit on Twitter ever since. So Noam Dar just tweets that out of nowhere, and then adds him, of course, because he's like, yeah, I gotta add him after that. And then Pierce Morgan responded
saying, mate, I only deal with wrestlers on the main roster. Who let you use the phrase superstar? Well, Noam is on the main roster, technically, right?
He's
on 205 Live. He's not on NXT.
And he shows up on Raw every once in a while.
And he shows up on Raw every once in a while.
I'd say Noam Dar's been on Raw more times this year than Apollo Crews.
What'd you say?
I think Noam Dar's been on Raw more times than Apollo Crews this year.
Oh, yeah, I think so, yeah. Anyway, what was it? So, and then Noam Dar responded saying, basically, your ma did. Take the night off, you melted potato. Catch you, Dafty. XXX. So basically,
Noam Dar is weird because, like, you know, these are clever insults, but at the same time, you read them in his voice, you're like, I might need subtitles.
Yeah, but basically,
I might need
he's
that,
saying,
you know, like, fan subs too, where they explain things.
Yeah,
and the top of the thing too. Right. I might need some of those as
well. So basically, what he's saying is that his mom called him Piers Morgan's mom calls Noam Dar a superstar because most likely he's a superstar in bed, basically. Yeah. But yeah, Pierce Morgan's a piece of shit. Fuck him.
Yeah, fuck that dude. I mean, I saw the Corey Graves thing. That was it.
Yeah. Oh, what did Corey Graves say?
Well, actually, Pierce Morgan said some shit about Corey Graves being a failed... he was a failed professional wrestler who was a terrible commentator. Actually, the first guy who responded was, I guess, some doctor. He's like, hey, it's like, speaking of this, why don't you have me on your show talking about the importance of concussions? Because, you know, that's why Corey Graves is in wrestling.
Yeah.
Apparently, Pierce Morgan doesn't want to talk to people about CTE damages.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Because, I guess, he hasn't put any... I don't know. That's what the impression I got. But also, I forget what Corey Graves said, but he just mocked him, too. So, yeah. So Piers Morgan is no one likes him in WWE, but then again, no one should like him anyway.
Yeah. Fuck Piers Morgan.
Yeah.
What else? So yeah, Impact. So Bound for Glory happened. I didn't watch that shit.
Yeah, I watched a few GIFs. I'm like. And every time the gifts happen, I just was like, oh my god, I keep forgetting TNA's still a thing.
Yeah.
I heard about the Alberto Del Patron promo, and I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, that's one thing I was going to bring up, because I heard about that, like, who in their right mind thought that was a fucking good idea? Who?
TNA is still at a point now where it just feels like they just throw things at a wall and hope something stick.
Yeah,
but the problem is that the audience that they're trying to appeal to have dealt with this shit already so many times that we know what they try to do, and no matter how good their product might be coming or how much improvements they made, we still don't trust them, and we're not going to trust them. You fucked it up. Too many times. You're not WWE. You can't fuck up that many times and expect people to keep watching.
Yeah, man. And, yeah, just to put it in context, basically, like, Alberto Del Patron, El Patron, or whatever the fuck, yeah, he basically, like, his whole promo was basically complaining about him not getting paid and all this other foolishness while, and getting suspended and all this other shit like that for his domestic violence case and whatnot. Like, you're really gonna pick now to, like, these times of all times to decide that's a great idea to have such a fucking promo? That was the dumbest shit ever. Wow.
Yeah. I don't fucking get it.
It's fucking...
Fuck that. Stupid bullshit.
It's fucking dumb shit. And yeah, like, Impact is just a sinking ship. I think, like, all but, like, one or two referees in Impact left. Like, a lot of...
I heard that.
Yeah, a lot of them left. Like,
even fucking like Earl Hebner and shit like that. I've heard he left, and one of the other Hebners. How many Hebners were there? There were like three of them there.
I didn't know wrestling ref was a family thing until I heard the Hebner had a son who was a ref. And I'm like, I didn't know that was a. You can't. I didn't know you had wrestling referee families. It's just strange. What was weird though is there's a couple of New Japan guys who were refs, but their children became wrestlers. I think Shibata's dad was a referee.
Yeah, yeah, he was.
And we know the senior ref, Red Shoes, his son's one of the Young Lions right now too. Yeah. I saw some of those gifts, and I was like, the only thing that really popped in my mind was like, man, I do miss seeing Jimmy Jacobs, just because that motherfucker knew how to dress.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel kind of bad. He probably wasn't allowed to dress like he would at a fucking, when he was working for WWE. They were like, you gotta wear regular suits, man. You can't be stunning on these motherfuckers in the writing room like this.
Right.
Jimmy Jacobs is fucking booked for like, what, CZW and AAW coming up. Jesus. But whatever. Yeah. Good on him. At least he's background. But man, fuck TNA. Who cares?
Yeah, who cares?
You might as well do the other bit of TNA news.
Which other bit? Like
the one about the audience?
Oh, yeah. Fuck. Oh my god. Okay, so apparently in Ottawa, there was a casting agency who were actually hiring extras to attend TNA tapings. Like, so, and then apparently you can earn a nice $150 to watch wrestling.
That's the only way you'd get me to go watch a fucking TNA show. A week before, I said there was nothing that could make me watch TNA, and then I saw that, and I'm like, well, you know, I'd take a paycheck to watch TNA. Hell yeah! come on. It's a great job. I want to get that professionally. I want to be a professional watcher, wrestling watcher. Some good shit. TNA, man. Just can't do nothing right.
Fucking terrible, man.
Yeah. Alright, would you want to just keep doing news and then do Raw and SmackDown?
Yeah, might as well. Fuck it.
Alright.
Yeah, some other shit. Yeah, there was a retirement over the weekend. Yeah.
Who retired?
You didn't know?
No, I didn't know.
It was, I believe it was, Manami Toyota.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, man.
I can't believe I forgot for that. Since I've been working these, morning shifts, my perception of time has been slowly fucking up. Luckily, I have an alarm specifically set for Wednesday, so I'm ready for this taping. But yeah, I saw a bit. And then I saw, apparently, Ember Moon retweeted, one of the gift makers things about Manami Toyota calling her queen, and apparently some of those stupid WWE marks were like, this, you know, were like, no, Sasha Banks is the queen, or, you know, or Charlotte is the queen. It's really? Like, shut the fuck up. Couldn't you Google search Manami Toyota before you tweeted? You know, I mean, I get you guys don't watch outside of stuff, but, you know, maybe use the Google search for a minute. They were obviously paying respect to a woman who was retiring.
Right. You know, it's crazy. You know, she never set foot in American soil until 2010.
Manami Toyota?
Yeah. She didn't wrestle.
She did a WCW show, unless that WCW show was in Korea.
No, yeah, it wasn't in the U.S. Because apparently her first wrestling appearance in the U.S., was September 18th, 2010, in Baltimore, Maryland. She defeated Daisy Hayes.
That was the Chikara
event. Yeah,
I have that. And then the next night they were in just outside Yonkers. It was her and Quackenbush versus Daisy Hayes and Cesaro.
It was actually, I think they said it was Cesaro and Sarah Del Rey.
Sarah Del Rey, yeah. Yeah, they were all part of the BDK. I got confused.
Yeah, BDK.
But yeah, I have both of those matches on DVD, actually.
Nice.
They're both really good matches. I didn't realize that. I guess maybe at the time I knew that was her first appearance and just forgot about it because I knew it was a big deal. It was also when I was getting back into Jakarta after like a 2-year absence. So I actually, I saw that. I said, you know what? I'll check out this BDK stuff and I'll check out this Chikara again and see what's going on. But those were actually that was actually pretty good matches, both of them. But yeah, that is amazing. And I know, and a little bit shooting off of that, Bull Nakano was just in California, I think, this weekend, or will be in California this weekend.
Yeah, I think she made some type of appearance, yeah.
For that Rise thing. So that was a... I mean, I'm happy to see the some of the classic Joshis getting credit. Apparently, Michael Elgin makes his students or people who go to his dojo, he would give them like rest assignments to watch wrestling. And apparently right now he has some of his dojo people wrestling Joshi. I mean, watching Joshi matches and stuff.
It makes sense, man.
Yeah. He actually said now because he got them to he's getting them to watch Joshi right now, it made him go back to watch Joshi, so now he wants to book Io Shirai for his company.
Yeah.
And I think he just announced they are going to do a women's title tournament, so yeah, if you are following his big indie company, I mean, I guess they're a big indie company, they're getting fucking Naito and Marufuchi of all people, right?
Right.
They're going to have a women's division. And I guess he has, like, several women students, too. So he's going to be bringing in as much women talent as possible down here. But, yeah, I mean, love Manami Toyota. If you've never seen her wrestle, I mean, her and her prime, I think she has, like, 15 five-star matches, something like that. My favorite match with her is, any match against Kyoko Inoue is fucking amazing. But she has an hour draw with Kyoko Inoue that is a fucking amazing match. I also like the match she had with Bull Nakano, where Bull Nakano like just beat the shit out of her, but that's because I'm on Bull Nakano mark. But Manami Toyota's great matches against Kyoko Inoue, great matches against Akira Hokata too. I think one of those matches Akira Hokata wrestled in her actual bridal dress she wore at her wedding.
Nice.
Yeah, and was like, well, I'm going to use this shit twice. She did a fucking somersault senton off the top turnbuckle in her fucking wedding gown.
Nice.
But yeah, definitely, if you can find it, I know the guy Brother Mort on Twitter posts classic links to classic All Japan women stuff. There's probably some Manami Toyota stuff on there. But yeah, love Manami Toyota. All right, I'm done.
Nice. Okay, what other news do I have? And of course there were some releases that happened. Apparently Sawyer Fulton, if people remember him, he was one of the original members of NXT Sanity before he got knocked off for Killian Dane. After that, I think he might have gotten injured. And that's probably part of the reason why. But after that, he faded into nothing for the most part. And then ended up getting released. So he's gone. This one portly Chinese guy called Leo Gao. He's gone as well. He got released. Which also begs the question, who else may end up getting released? So far, there's about 5 people who got released by WWE in the past like few weeks.
Yeah. So. I mean, I'm a little surprised some of the guys in training haven't been released as much lately.
Right.
Because, I mean, I didn't think... I don't want to say I didn't think any of the Chinese guy wrestlers would make it. I'm sure I was sure that one or two would, but they hired, like, what, 3 or 4? Yeah. And I just couldn't believe that all 4 would... even make it this far along.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm interested to see what's going to happen with the, I forget her name, but the woman that was out the Mae Young Classic. I think she has potential. Yeah. I know there was like another Chinese dude too.
Yeah, they had the first Chinese signing, and he popped up. The last time he popped up was at the Royal Rumble, and he was green as shit. So
I don't know how much he's improved between now and then. So.
Yeah, they kept him off television.
Yeah, they made sure they were like, yeah.
I mean, I remember they kept what's his name, Oka from the Young Lions out of events for like 6 or 7 months before his official debut. But he's pretty good. So I mean, I guess they just didn't want him to look too bad because you know he was one of the first heavyweights going in as a young lion they had had in a long time.
Yeah.
But I fucking hate CZW's website.
Shit. And then who else may end up getting released? Shit, I forgot. Epico and Primo are still signed.
Yeah, even though I heard they don't want to actually be there.
Yeah, so... Yeah, but like, I feel like...
And Neville's still signed, too.
Like, I feel like if you don't want to be in the WWE, they'll keep you. So, like, it's like reverse psychology. Like you just gotta act like you don't want to be there. And then just keep collecting checks. I don't know. I'm joking. But, yeah. I don't know. They could be. I don't know. But in other signing and not signing news and shit. Yeah, WWE still not signing any Mae Young Classic competitors. It looks like they're probably not going to sign any anytime soon. So, like, people like Tony Storm, Viper, Piper Niven, and some of the other ones who aren't signed, who you'd think would eventually get signed, have not. I think Mercedes Martinez and, like, Candice LeRae, they pop up on NXT every now and then, but they're basically used as enhancement talent, and they haven't been signed still. So,
and they, I don't think they should be using these women as enhanced talent since they were in Mae Young Classic anyway.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think that there's a limited amount of spots, but it seems like they had a plan for the Cruiserweight Classic, but they don't they didn't have a plan post the Mae Young Classic.
Mae Young Classic, right.
Other than a way to basically just feature Shayna Baszler and a Kairi Sane.
Yeah.
And that's just not smart thinking ahead. I mean, I know some people say they think they would rather them filter the women into NXT, Raw, SmackDown. I still think there's a conversation to be made for two NXTs. NXT with just the men, NXT with just the women, and then taking the important matches on each of the two NXT shows and using them on NXT Takeover.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's the best case scenario. I don't know why they're not going to do that. Okay. I'm trying to grab some of the shows for the week to do at the end. Okay, I got it.
Gotcha. In other news involving women and shit, in other weird news, actually, porn star Lexi Bell posed with an old Spinner WWE title in what appeared to be a convention, probably most likely a porn convention, and proclaimed that she wanted to be a WWE superstar. whether she was serious or not, it's not likely, as WWE has this whole morality thing nowadays, of course. So her best bet, if she really is serious about wrestling, would just be wrestling in the indies or whatever, but I doubt she'd want to attempt that shit anyway. So, plus,
I've only heard of Lexi Bell. She's apparently a major pothead too.
Yeah. So oh, really?
That. Yeah. Well, not to give away that I watch a lot of porn because I don't anymore. But a lot of, it seems like a number of those porn stars are very happy to talk about weed or post their, like, images of, you know, cannabis and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, that's not going to get you into WWE either.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, if she wants to be a wrestler, I'm sure there's places she can train. So, yeah.
And in other news involving women, apparently Michelle McCool wants to have a return at some point. I think they teased something with Charlotte on Twitter and stuff like that. Basically, Charlotte had added her or whatever, and it took a little while, but Michelle McCool caught wind of it and whatnot. And so, yeah, that could be something. Like, Michelle McCool could end up wrestling again, maybe a match, or maybe have some type of program for a little while or something like that, but that's not out of the question.
She I know she had cancer a while ago. I guess that she got that dealt with. So
yeah. Oh, I didn't know
she's talking about wrestling.
Yeah.
So but good on her. Good on her.
Yeah, I think she had a kid too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is that we talk shit about that era of women's wrestling, but it's not because the women weren't good. It's because WWE is the horrible piece of shit they are.
Yeah.
I mean, they still had
Michelle McCool. They had Beth Phoenix. Natalya was part of that era still.
Yeah. I want to say, what's her name? There was a Candice too.
Candice Michelle. She started off bad, but she got a lot better later.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Layla. There was Layla.
Layla was all right too.
I mean, some of them weren't the best wrestlers, but they were okay in the ring with the right people, and they had personality.
Right.
I don't watch Total Divas, but there, I think there was an entire bit where The Miz was telling his wife that, you know, she should get credit because she had only like a minute or two to go out there and get over, and she did a great job.
Yeah.
And Maryse, I mean, they didn't have enough time to really get great or even super good, but they were competent enough to, you know, not get hurt for the most part.
Right.
They were trying to do things, and most of them were pretty deep. Actually, I would argue that some of the women in that era were better at promos than most of the men at that era, too.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, really, when we talk shit about that Divas era, it's not because we're hating on the women. I mean, the smart fans should not be hating on the women. It's because WWE was just being a piece of shit and not doing anything with them. I mean, we were still upset they weren't hiring enough female wrestlers, but these women still should have had more to do. Should have given a little bit more time in the thing. They gave nothing to these women. They made them the bathroom break on purpose.
Yeah.
But, you know, Michelle McCool wants to come back. There is a whole lot of women who could help, you know, get her back into wrestling shape and could, you know, theoretically work a pretty decent match with her. I mean, yeah. I mean, there's actually a lot of women I would say know how to carry a woman, someone who's not as good through a good match. Like Becky Lynch, Mickie James, they're all, like, really technically proficient to the point where any match is usually pretty good with them. So, yeah. Props to Michelle McCool if she wants to come back.
Yeah, man. And what else? What other news? Yeah, and other things. Yeah, we talked about Ricochet and the DG shows. So basically, yeah, it looks like he's on his farewell tour, which I believe just ended, and a nice little in-ring celebration in Dragon Gate.
Which I just found out a bunch of people were mad about because they were a couple of guys did the lip kiss guy thing, and they were like, get these gays out of wrestling. Shut the fuck up.
Oh, really? Shut up.
Yeah. Because that Lariato guy posted a GIF about that. And then he was like, look, and then he posted a bunch of comments that ended up on this GIF thing, and like, I find this terrible, you know, because you're mad about this, even though you're watching these buff guys in spandex.
Yeah,
like, calm down. And, I mean, I agree, too. I mean, I look at it like, I mean, come on, Kenny Omega recently dressed up as fucking Princess Jasmine and kissed Marty Scurll, who was dressed as Aladdin. The Japanese audience was all into that shit. I mean, I don't personally care, but, you know, let them, you know, they're entertaining the fans, and in some cases, they're saying goodbyes. You know, stop with this homophobic bullshit. It's fucking 2017. Get your ass out of your chair, walk outside, and think for a moment and realize that there is a ton of shit that you watch, video games you play, movies you see, music you listen to, technology you use, your computer, for God's sakes. I mean, gay people, transgender, lesbians, they've done shit to benefit your life, so calm the fuck down.
Oh, yeah, shout out to transgender folks. I heard, I believe, two transgender people just got elected to positions in across the country. So that's
one
of them, two. I think there was maybe more.
There was two for sure. Yeah. One of them, Danica, I believe was her name. actually beat a guy who wrote one of the anti-trans bathroom bills.
Yeah, that was in Virginia. And I think there was one out west. It's a trans man. I forgot what his name was. I think it was it was some cool name. Travis something. I forget. Travis. Damn it.
We're sorry, folks. We hate politics so much, but sometimes we got to point out the stuff. So we.
Damn it, I forgot what the
fucking name was. But yeah, congratulations. I'm technically a Democrat. I'm not happy about it, but still, I was happy the Democrats kicked some ass finally.
Oh, I'm unaffiliated. Like, I'm registered to vote, but I'm unaffiliated.
I didn't really think about that when I registered, and I'm too lazy to change it now, but I'm happy the Democrats came out.
It's actually pretty easy to change. All you gotta do is just, like, basically plug in your info and online for the most part. They'll mail you your new card and shit. Well, that's definitely from Maryland. I don't know how.
Oh, we don't use cards out here in Cali.
Oh, you don't use cards? Okay, shit.
No, so it could be as simple as just. The only thing I need is my ID.
Yeah, I think it'll just be as simple as just plugging in info and on whatever voting site.
See, ours is. I would have to just I think I'm supposed to ask for a lot of things. So I can't do it online. I can request the thing to do it in the mail.
Oh, really? Oh, that's
yeah. At least that's how it was like about 4 years ago, and I didn't look into it after that. And our voting thing is basically once you register in the area you are, you're on like a list. So I just show up, I give them my name, they ask to check the ID, and that's it. Nice. So I don't have to have an actual voter ID thing. It's weird though. They have my brother's information. I don't think my brother ever registered to vote. I'd always there. It's like, is there an Edward Townsend? He's like, yeah, no, that's no. And then my brother's like, what do you mean they have me on their list? But yeah, congrats to the transgender winners of the recent elections.
Yeah. Anyway, back to WWE type stuff and wrestling shit. What else were we going off on the tangent? Guess who popped up randomly at an ICW show?
I know this one, so you can just tell him.
Yeah, Triple H. Yeah.
Yep.
He popped up at an ICW show. I think he was accompanied by Pete Dunne and shit, putting him over and shit. So that was very unusual for him to pop up. But of course... They were in the UK anyway, so he was like, oh, might as well, since we have such a kind of loose working relationship with these people, and I guess he decided to show up. And then besides that, he also popped up in some of the live events with working with The Shield as their third member. So, yeah, that was also interesting, and I think Kurt Angle was also... working as the Shield's third member again in part of the European tour also. And, of course, he did yet another triple powerbomb, which was awesome. And speaking of the European tour that won the UK tour, that one rumor that people have been floating around recently about Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens.
Like, yep.
Yeah. I still think it's a work. I don't believe that's like real.
Yeah, I'm not even believe shit. See, I know people like, and I know I harp on Meltzer a little bit because I'm usually mad at people's response to Meltzer, but I think Meltzer usually does a decent job of after the fact details about how things get put together.
Right.
So I'm gonna be a little interested to see what he says, because right now the rumor about them not feeding the New Day right doesn't seem like something smart, and yeah. I think that Kevin Owens is saying they got something going on. I don't know why they would do anything negatively like that, but who knows? We'll find out. I mean, they Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens are two guys that I think really have everything that WWE wants. They can talk, they can perform in the ring, they connect with the crowd, and I mean, and Sami Zayn's charity work is a really nice. Look on him, but then again, WWE doesn't fucking care about charity work, do they?
Yeah, unless it's WWE sponsored shit like punk ass Susan G. Coleman shit or hypocritical be a star or whatever.
Yeah. Fuck that shit. But, yeah. We'll find out for sure. Oh, Jericho just announced Cody Rhodes will be part of the cruise.
Nice. Nice. Oh, and speaking of Cody Rhodes, his good friend, Stephen Amell, guess where he's popping up?
Yeah, I saw this too. I actually wrote it down.
Yeah, man, that shit is interesting. So, Stephen Amell, so, like, I'm actually surprised he decided to do this. Like, because, like, I thought that he'd feel like he just would do WWE shit and just bounce. But, like, I guess since he's so cool with the Cody, he just wanted to keep going. So, apparently now...
I think he was in an episode of Being the Elite recently.
Oh, he was? Okay.
I think so. I know he does. He has a bunch of Bullet Club shirts he works out in.
Yeah. But yeah, so now he's going to appear on Ring of Honor in San Antonio in November 17th, I believe. So, yeah, that's interesting. But it's nice seeing that tit for tat with Cody and him. Because Cody is still, his character in Arrow is not dead, still.
No, but, you know, Cody's working so much as a, you know, right now that I can see why he wouldn't be showing up for a little bit, but,
Because he was on, shit, what episode? Like, because he was on one of the, I think he was on the premiere, I think the premiere episode of Arrow.
And he did an episode towards the end, too. Okay, yeah. He's apparently in episode 56 of Being the Elite, because they have a picture of him, and the Young Bucks have a picture, like, and Stephen Amell makes a cameo, so, yeah.
Nice.
I mean, so, you know, here's an interesting little fascination. I don't know if we talked about Randy Rhodes. I think we mentioned she's on that TV show, right?
Yeah, the Wags one. I just saw a trailer for it.
But yeah,
apparently she rarely is, like, you don't see much of her in it.
Yeah, apparently she's real good friends with Kenny Omega. Because they mentioned that they talk on the phone a bit. I thought that was interesting, like, because Kenny was like, because I guess she was surprised that Kenny wasn't following her. It's like, yeah, we talk on the phone so much, I forgot I wasn't following you on Twitter. But, yeah. So, yeah, Kenny Omega good friends with Randy Rhodes. I don't know, I just thought that was interesting. But, yeah, you got some more news? I'm going to take these off of my news thing.
Of course, what else? Yeah, Rey Mysterio, he was at the Crash event on Saturday, and he popped up in some Black Panther gear. He doesn't have a full mask, so of course he had to paint his mouth area black, which looked kind of funny, but it was still good. It was still a dope outfit.
Yeah, I mean, if it's mostly the mask, it's usually like, well, okay,
yeah,
fine.
Yeah,
now, so, if he had painted his face, we got a problem.
Yeah, right. So, but it was it was dope. Like, that's just one of a long line of, like, superhero ones that he's worn. He's worn Spider-Man, Daredevil, the Flash, Captain America. The Joker. I know I'm missing some, but he had a good amount of them. Like, he's always with the good shit, man. Always.
I have a bit of news to tie into Mysterio as well. I mentioned a few more weeks back that CMLL gave Roosh and his dad, whose name escapes me, permission to work Crash, right?
Right.
Well, they have also now given permission to Volador Jr. to work Crash, so he's working as a member of Los Ingobernables de Japón.
Oh.
And they're putting Volador Jr. into a feud with Pentagon Jr. and Rey Mysterio.
Nice.
So, Crash is becoming kind of the premier indie promotion. I mean, they have a working relationship with CMLL, which is a bit strange, because CMLL is very protective of their guys. And right. They usually only let those guys work specific type of indies.
So, well, I guess, like, CMLL is like, you guys don't got, you guys got beef with AAA, so you're good in my book. That's my take on it.
Yeah, you're probably right. I mean, and I think it also helps that them not being affiliated with AAA and their own, and the fact that the families are, you know, splintered apart into different companies also probably helps it too.
Yeah.
So, I'm looking at a picture of the Rey Mysterio outfit. It's not whoever posted the picture didn't do like an HD quality, but it looks pretty good.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is my one piece of Lucha Libre news.
And in other Lucha Libre news,
okay.
Yeah, that's right. Guess who is bald now?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, fucking Jack Evans.
Really?
Yes. Jack Evans is fucking bald. He lost the hair.
Well, this might be an improvement. For a minute, he looked like the old stoner who just can't grow up for a while.
Yeah, but yeah, he's fucking bald. He lost a match to Bestia 6'6".
Yeah. I haven't seen that guy in, like, a decade.
Yeah, man, so, he lost that shit, and so he's fucking bald. Yeah, his head looks kind of funny, I'm not gonna lie.
Alright, I'm looking up a picture of him. There's a Reddit, the Reddit thing says, bald Jack Evans looks like he could be the vocalist for a hardcore band. And he does! If he had at least one tattoo, though, that would be even better.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, man. Diddy's birthday was December 4th, and on his birthday he decided he wanted to change his name. So he said his name would be Love, aka Brother Love. He just wanted to spread peace and positivity, all blah blah blah. But of course, that did not sit well with wrestling fans, and of course, Bruce Pritchard, who is, of course, Brother Love in the WWE. So, yeah, there was this whole thing. Wrestling fans were, like, just bombarding Diddy's mentions and shit over the Brother Love thing. I thought it was kind of amusing. But, yeah, I think eventually Diddy was like, yeah, I think I'm going to keep my name. But, yeah, it's funny, man.
It took us a long time to adapt to Diddy. Why would he want to change his name again?
Shit.
I swear to God, I'll still call him Puff Daddy for like 3 years now.
Because he went Puff Daddy, and then he changed it to P. Diddy, and then he shortened it from P. Diddy to Diddy, and then at some point he wanted to be called Puff Daddy again. At some point, he just wanted to be called Sean Combs. Shit, I remember his Sean John clothing line. I had this, like, velour tracksuit. That was in middle school. That was, like, the only, like, weird that was, like, the one outfit I had. And it was kind of weird. But anyway, yeah, so, yeah, Brother Love, man. You're supposed to spread love and positivity and shit. But after that, of course, the one announcement that was made outside of Raw and SmackDown and shit like that was that John Cena was added to the Team SmackDown for Survivor Series. The free agent John Cena.
I think Rusev was making fun of that. It's like, congrats to John Cena for winning his spot on the Survivor Series
team.
Yeah,
right? Yeah, I saw that, and I was like, damn, that's fucked up, dude.
Like, well, Rusev's been like that lately, too.
Yeah, because they've been doing him dirty, dude. Every turn, they've been doing him dirty. All this shit with, like, Randy Orton, that was dirty as fuck. And before that, like, with his, like, recovery and, like, him trying to get a spot back. And, yeah, it's just been awful for him. This is a terrible year.
He's doing such a great job. Yeah. Just on camera and off camera. Like, yeah. I don't understand what WWE wants. You want a guy who can cut promos. Rusev can cut promos. You want a guy who looks imposing. Rusev looks imposing. You want a guy who can, you know, he's not the best wrestler, but usually his matches are at least good.
Yeah.
You know, he's at least a 2 stars. Sometimes he'll go up as high as maybe 4 stars with the right storyline.
Yeah, it's supposed to be Rusev Day, man. It's supposed to be Rusev Day.
Yes, Rusev Day's the best. I saw the thing that someone posted. They used the 280 characters on fucking Twitter and just put, on the Twitter ticker during SmackDown, they said, it's a happy Rusev Day.
Oh, my God.
Man, I'm over Randy Orton. I'm over half of the guys they have. It's not even like they're booking all... I mean, I get that WWE stock is doing pretty well, but their shows are still not doing good, great ratings, and their booking is still kind of confusing for the most part. Is there not engagement television? You can watch, you can follow WWE just by following pay-per-views like I do, and yeah, you might miss a good match or two between pay-per-views, but it's not engagement television. It's not worth it. Yeah. Watch Lucifer instead, or The Gifted. Or...
Yo, Lucifer is my shit, man.
Yeah. Monday shows are far more important to me.
Yeah, man. And then, Gifted, yeah, I saw that shit. That shit was dope, too.
Yeah. And what was on Tuesday? I mean, I watched Flash and Legends of Tomorrow. I don't need no fucking SmackDown. Oh, and Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and then sometimes The Mick when I catch it on demand. It's just not, you know, Raw and SmackDown are not engagement television. And the part is because they keep screwing over the guys you want to see succeed. The guys and gals. Guys and dolls.
Oh, man. And in other news I just learned about, apparently Natalya was, I don't know if I should watch Total Divas or not, man, but, like, it's intriguing, but, like, yeah, she posted some photos just now, and they're of her when she was fucking 18 years old, dude, and she was skinny as shit. Apparently, she had a... I had no idea.
Yeah, she was apparently a lot smaller than...
Yeah, apparently she had an eating disorder. That's what happened.
Yeah, I knew she had to be smaller, because apparently she used to do, like, more, she would learn high-flying moves when she first... got into the business. Like, I guess she said that she could do a Dragon Rana when she first started, because that was one of the first wrestling things she did, because when I think she did, what was it, Matt Rat Wrestlers or something like that?
Yeah.
That was one of the first things that she had to learn how to do. So I knew, and I when I heard that, I'm like, well, man, she must have been smaller back then. I didn't know she had an eating disorder.
Yeah,
but
man.
I think a lot of, I don't want to say a lot of women, but, you know, I think that's a lot more common. I mean, not just with women, but I'm sure with men, too.
Yeah.
That eating disorders are pretty common.
Yeah, if you like, but the thing is that this looks like this like if you look at the pictures, this is like even before like some of the pictures that you see of her in like fucking Calgary in like wrestling gear or Japan in wrestling gear. This is like she's skinny, like fucking almost anorexic, dude. It's crazy. I've never, because, like, yeah, she was smaller back then when she was, like, wrestling and shit, but she didn't look like this, like, the pictures I just fucking saw. Like, yeah, it was bad. Bad, man. So, like, well, good for her for, breaking that cycle, man. But.
Yeah. Yeah. And, I mean, she's a very, well-figured woman. She looks like she can win, beat the shit out of people.
Yeah.
So. And I appreciate that in my women, too. but, yeah. So, it's interesting. I'm sure one day she'll write her autobiography as well.
Yeah.
We'll know all the details. Well, at least from her side of things, but still. Yeah. You got anything else?
Of course. The biggest one of all. Fucking the Ric Flair Nature Boy 30 for 30. Yes.
I have the DVR. I'm going to watch it this weekend.
Oh, my God. Well, it's a lot of, like, basically a lot of it, like, we've already heard before, but, like, I just for my quick review, fantastic. They could have dove into a lot more. Honestly, that shit could have been, like, fucking 2 hours, 3 hours, if it could. Like, if you royally wanted to delve into... all the craziness and shit with him, it could have been a long-ass fucking documentary. but it was like, I think it's only like an hour and a half, like with commercials. So like, you didn't get a huge chunk, but like, it was like an emotional roller coaster, if I could describe it as anything. Cause like you were laughing, you were happy during watching it. And then like towards the end, it just got really fucking like sad and depressing and shit like that. It was like, but you'd hit some of that sad and depressing shit in between, sprinkle a little bit, but like towards the end, you'll definitely get fucking teary eyed, dude. It was great, man. It was fucking great. So highly recommended that 30 for 30 Nature Boy. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna watch it later this weekend. Because my hours, but actually I could probably maybe watch it tomorrow or Friday. But I'm gonna get to it. I'm looking forward to watching it. And there's actually on Twitter right now, if you look for it, there's a Ric Flair doing mundane things in Charlotte, moment thing that was, people were detailing random meetings they had with Ric, running into Ric Flair in Charlotte, or, you know, sightings, stuff like that. Just thought that was interesting. But yeah, and the response on Twitter was really good for it, too. So, I mean, I'm glad Ric Flair is getting obviously Ric Flair's always been one of the greats, but Ric Flair's time, I mean, he was around during the boom era, but, you know, he wasn't, like, a premier guy at the time. So I'm glad there's a little bit more eyes on him now, even though he's always been a huge star, but still. The space between mainstream wrestling and mainstream culture is still quite distant from each other. And it'll be, we might get more 30 for 30s for wrestlers in the future, too. That could be fascinating. But yeah. Who would you want other than Ric Flair?
Vince?
Yeah, the Vince story is going to be so one-sided.
Yeah, but of course, but there is a movie coming out, though.
Yeah, I don't trust it if WWE's producing it.
Yeah.
All right, I have a piece of news left over.
All right,
and it does tie a little bit into Natalya, who we talked about a moment ago. But, here it is. Yukihiro Sakata, a.k.a. Tokyo Joe, just passed from, I believe, complications with cancer surgery. He was trained in the Heart Dungeon. He's a former, he wrestled in New Japan. He was actually a talent scout for New Japan, too. He actually helped guys like Bret Hart get jobs over in the promotion. He trained Liger, Tenzin, and Hiroshi Hase, as well as having a hand in training Nighty Neidhart, Tyson Kidd, and Davey Boy Jr. So, RIP to Yukihara Sakata, a.k.a. Tokyo Joe. Thank you for your contributions to wrestling and helping to train some of the best. So, there. That's it? Should we even talk about Raw and SmackDown now?
I guess we can talk a little bit about it.
I got the shows of the Central of the Week, too. I actually found, too, so we can mention those as well.
Yeah, there was some brief shit on Raw. Elias faced Jason Jordan in a guitar to pole match. Jason Jordan ended up winning that one. Asuka had another squash match, this time against Aleister Black's girlfriend. Samoa Joe attacked Titus O'Neil, and then faced Finn Balor. And they ended up having a brawl, and they ended up being announced as the new members of Team Raw. And then later, Kurt Angle would give Jason Jordan the last spot. So now the roster for Raw is Kurt Angle, Braun Strowman, Finn Balor, Samoa Joe, and Jason Jordan as Team Raw. Sasha Banks and Bayley faced Nia Jax and Alicia Fox. Oh, and Bayley and Sasha Banks won. Also, for the women's team for Raw, Asuka is also part of that team. Who else? Braun Strowman faced The Miz, but ended up he winning by DQ because Kane attacked Braun. Just a whole bunch of mess happened. Enzo More got a surprise challenge from Pete Dunne. Pete Dunne beat his ass, of course. The Bar faced Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose of The Shield in a really dope match until The New Day came out. The whole Raw roster led by Kurt Angle came down to the ring. New Day was mocking them and basically trolled everybody because they were the only ones there from SmackDown. And the distraction was enough for The Bar to capitalize. Sheamus hit the bro kick and they are new champions. So this is basically going to end up being The Bar versus the Usos, and what I'm guessing would finally be that dream six-man match of The Shield versus The New Day, which will most likely be announced next week. Yeah, so that was Raw. So that was actually pretty decent. SmackDown happened. Shane McMahon was hyping the New Day up on their trolling of Raw. Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens came out to insult everybody. Sami Zayn ended up having a match with Kofi Kingston, which Kofi Kingston ended up winning. Rusev faced Randy Orton and fucking lost. Battle of the Sexes, Becky Lynch versus James Ellsworth. Yes, an intergender match actually happened at WWE. But of course it had Wimpy Dude, and of course Becky Lynch took the W on that one. After that, Shelton Benjamin and Chad Gable faced the Usos. Shelton Benjamin and Chad Gable actually won by count out, so the Usos retain.
Remember, the Usos got injured from the sounds of it.
Yeah, I think what. Was it? I don't think it was a legit one, though. Was it?
I don't know. There hasn't been too many details coming up. I saw the video. It looked horrible. The chop block.
I hope it wasn't.
Cause, like, I'm sure if it is, we'll find out soon enough.
Yeah, because it... I don't know. But the thing is that... I don't know. Because they have no, there hasn't been like a real announcement yet,
or yeah,
anything, and it's been a day.
Yeah, I mean, it could just be some, you know, just a random rumor, but yeah, he might be fine.
Yeah,
I just heard it and then I saw a GIF and I'm like,
because everybody said that looked
could
nasty,
look like an injury.
Yeah, because
huh?
Everybody said it looked nasty, which it did, but yeah. Yeah, but it seems like if they would have announced it, they probably would have announced it by now, but they haven't. So, but well, maybe they're just waiting on, just trying to see how like okay he is first. I don't know, because like sometimes you can't really tell. You gotta let them. Maybe just having him sit out and ice some shit for a while, and then waiting on to see if that he could really get a shit. And sometimes you gotta bring the swelling down to see if there's anything really wrong, you know, cause that's what happened to me, cause like before I could even get x-rays and shit, they were like, you gotta get your swelling down on your knee first.
Yeah.
So, but usually like when you know it's bad, it's bad. But after that, of course, was the WWE title match, AJ Styles versus Jinder Mahal. AJ Styles able to fend off the Singh brothers and take out Jinder, and he is the new WWE champion. So he will be going to Survivor Series to face Brock Lesnar. Yes. 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 And yeah, that was SmackDown. 205 Live, I didn't pay attention to it. I heard Tyler Bate was on there facing Enzo, but I didn't watch
it. And they Mark Andrews team with Cedric Alexander against two of the UK tournament guys, Drake and some other dude.
Oh, really? So maybe I'll check that out.
Yeah, that tag match is supposed to be pretty good.
Yeah.
All right. So, let me pull. We got cards for the weekend. All right. First of all, I'm sure even though there's no actual major announcements, there are the Shimmer shows. Night of 96 through 99, they usually tape two shows a day. We know this is a list of wrestlers we know who we're going to be. The champion Mercedes Martinez, the tag team champions Tessa Blanchard and Vanessa Craven, Heart of Shimmer champion Shaza McKenzie. Then they're the Phoenix of Rise champion. Rise is the winter motion that's kind of traveling around, and it's also in some cases sort of like a seminar for other women to learn from. So they have like guests who help younger women, you know, in ring seminar, that kind of stuff too. So the Phoenix of Rise champion Shotzi Blackheart will be there. We have Mia Yim, cheerleader Melissa, Candice LeRae, Nicole Savoy, Courtney Rush. I don't know who Dust is, but yeah, Dust, Jessica Havoc, Leva Bates, Delilah Doom, Ashley Lane, aka Madison Rain, Deonna Purrazza, Britt Baker, Chelsea Green, Lufisto, Solo Darling, Veta Scott, Hudson Envy, Kellyanne, don't know her, Samantha Heights, I've heard of, Rachel Ellering, Marty Bell, Ivelisse, Thunder Kitty, Charlie Evans, Jessica Troy, two women I don't know, Allison Kay, and also Ao Kizuki, who is a Japanese wrestler, and they said there will be three more women wrestlers announced from Japan. So, yep, Shimmer's doing their show. If you don't get to catch the show live, you'll probably have to wait a complete year before the DVDs come out, because it takes forever for Shimmer DVDs to come out, which is kind of why I stopped buying them. You know, all right, we got Night of Infamy from CZW, Saturday, November 11th. Come on, Paige. That's why I had you loaded. All right, here we go. We have CZW Rules World Title Match, Shane Strickland defends against Joe Gacy. We have JT Dunn taking on Ace Romero. Ethan Page versus Space Monkey. David Starr versus Daunst. I guess he dropped the Tim. I don't know. MJF versus Desmond Xavier. Jimmy Lloyd versus Brandon Kirk. What is this? Something called a Squared Circle of Sacrifice match. Don't know. The returning Jimmy Jacobs taking on Sammy Callahan. A tag team called The Rep versus The Beaver Boys. Man, The Beaver Boys are back. I haven't heard from them in a while. All right. And next we have Ring of Honor. Fort Lauderdale show. We have signed The Elite. Yeah, just says The Elite. Oh, I guess Kenny Omega's down here. Yeah, okay. So yeah, Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks taking on Dalton Castle, Jay Lethal, and Kenny King. Championship title match, Cody defense against Rocky Romero. Tag title match, the Motor City Machine Gun versus The Kingdom, TK O'Ryan, Vinny Marcella. Shane Taylor versus Punishment Martinez. Triple threat tag team match with Adam Page and Marty Scurll versus Best Friends versus The Addiction. Matt Taven versus Flip Gordon. And then there's a list of wrestlers who are also scheduled to appear. And then on the show on the 12th, we have nothing signed, it looks like. So there's just a bunch of names. Okay, well, then yeah, the show on the 12th, too. All right, that is all I could find for cards of the week. And is there anything else we got? Are we good?
Oh, I think we're good here. Fantastic.
All right, well, any random entertainment plugs we should get out of the way before we tie it up?
I don't know. Brian Michael Bendis could eat a dick.
Not a fan of Bendis' work?
No. I'm joking. Yeah, he was all right. But honestly, him leaving the DC isn't like a big thing to me. It's a big thing fact that it would be nice. It would definitely be nice to see, like, fresh takes on like some of the characters that he's been working on for a while now.
Yeah, but it's weird for Marvelous because none of their because a lot of the guys they had shaping their stuff for the like the last decade, so they're all gone. They don't. It's hard to think that they have any like other than Mark Wade, who's been writing for years.
Yeah,
they're in a weird place with the writers right now. Yeah. And as far as the sales chart, at least the direct market sales chart, which is the comic shop orders, they're still having trouble selling books outside of Star Wars, and I guess a couple of the Spider-Man titles do okay. So it'll be interesting to see how that does. Whereas
they need, my thing is that they need to just really push for, like, they need to market shit better. And then, besides marketing shit better, just chill with the crossovers.
I don't know. I think that's kind of the, almost the, because they had the mini, like, the mini event, then they had, like, the road to the major event, and then they had the aftermath to the major event.
Right.
So, it's been very hard to follow Marvel if you're not interested in, like, Avengers. Like, I'm not interested in buying Avengers comics, but the Avengers stuff always seems to tie into so much stuff.
Right.
I mean, I get it. DC has sort of very been lax about all their crossovers, and they've had a successful relaunch. They only just canceled their first title from the last major relaunch. That's like a year in, so that's almost unheard of in mainstream comics in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
So they've been and they're also selling their books. Half their books are cheaper than Marvel's too, which has been helpful for them.
Yeah.
But the industry on the whole, the direct market is still
trash.
Yeah. I understand the book market's doing pretty well, but in that case, it's like not counting manga, like Image Comics, DC Comics, and Marvel Comics, because Marvel doesn't really care about keeping popular runs in trades. Like, they'll do it, then they'll like liquidate the books, and then like some years later, they'll be like, "Oh, we can put out a new edition."
Mm.
Whereas, like, you know, Walking Dead or Saga is always out.
Right.
Watchmen, Sandman, Dark Knight Returns, it's always out.
Always out, yeah.
Yeah, Marvel doesn't do that, and that doesn't help them in the bookstore market.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the Bendis thing is interesting. I'm not a big Bendis fan either. I thought his X-Men stuff was okay.
Yeah.
And I say that as someone who dreaded him writing X-Men because his Ultimate X-Men was complete and utter fucking crap. But I think what helped is that he wasn't Wolverine. That Ultimate X-Men run, it was like he really liked Wolverine, and he didn't understand any other characters. But then he wrote Cyclops, both young Cyclops and old Cyclops. I'm like, see? As a Cyclops fan, you kind of get it. So I'm okay with this shit. But yeah, I've never been a fan of Bendis.
Yeah.
But as far as comic books go, the best DC comic right now, well, there's a few I like, but I really like the Mr. Miracle book. That shit is brutal. Brutally depressing. One of my favorite minor DC... I hate to say minor. He's the... You know the New God shit, right?
Yeah, he's the...
Like, Darkseid.
The husband of Big Barda and shit.
Yeah, he was Darkseid's adoptive son because they were the ones that switched at birth.
Right.
So Mr. Miracle is always my favorite of those guys. He's just insane. But the new series is just, like, it opens with him, like, recovering from a suicide attempt. That shit is depressing as fuck. And Orion has him and Big Barda forcefully enlisted in his army as he takes Apocalypse. It is a mean-ass fucking comic book.
Wow.
Some dark ass shit, and the Detective Comics right now is pretty good. I like Mother Panic. Outside of the superhero shit, there's always you know, Saga's good.
I haven't read Saga in so long. Like, it's been so long that like I know that like the kid, is like, I don't know how fucking old the kid is now. And,
I want to say she's like around 7 or 8.
Oh yeah, I'm still at like when she's a fucking baby. That's how fucking like behind I am.
Yeah, and they're like with the TV headed guy, the Prince, right now. They're hanging out with him. So yeah, it's that one's still good. And then you got there's some other good Image books. I like what's that one? Black Magic. Paper Girls is all right, and they just brought back Hack Slash. So
speaking of Magic, you heard about that new Netflix one? So there's a Netflix comic book out now.
Oh, the yeah, I don't like Mark Miller, really.
Really?
Now, part of it is his personality. I mean, he wrote some stuff that I like, but having read interviews with this guy, I fucking hate him. Like, he just said some of the most stupid, asshole-ish stuff. And it might also be because I'm a big Grant Morrison fan, and Morrison said something about him. And Morrison pretty much, whatever happened to break up their friendship, Grant Morrison straight said that if he ever caught him on the street, he would run him over with a car.
Wow.
And those guys were, like, really tight back in the 90s. They wrote a bunch of stuff together.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I guess it's just the way he would talk about female characters really soon, because he suggested after the death of Superman, he apparently was joking to DC, they should do The Rape of Wonder Woman.
Oh, come on.
Exactly. And apparently, like, he went off about why Lois Lane's a terrible character. Now, I'm fine if no one likes Lois Lane, but I find calling Lois Lane a slut to make absolutely no fucking sense whatsoever.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he would just say some shit that was like, man, shut the fuck up. That said, I like his Ultimate X-Men quite a bit, and the Ultimates was pretty fucking cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's comic shit. As a reminder, Punisher. Punisher is next weekend, and then the weekend after that, Runaways starts on Hulu.
Yeah. I'm a little shaky on Runaways because I feel like it wouldn't be my demographic, so I wouldn't enjoy it as I should. It seems like it'll be alright, but that teen drama type shit is, like, not for me.
See, well, I get what you're saying. When I got back in, well, I was always casual, but when I got into hardcore reading comics, Runaways was the first Marvel thing I jumped on because I liked the premise.
Because Runaways, I never jumped into, because I never read Runaways. The only thing I read that related to any of them was fucking Avengers Arena.
Yeah, fuck that shit. I didn't care.
That was later.
Basically, Marvel spent a good 3 years destroying Runaways, which is kind of what the new reboot of the series is addressing.
Yeah.
But the original premise that I think you can get from the thing is that the parents are all, like, supervillains, right?
Yeah, I read. But I skimmed through it. Basically, the parents are all supervillains, and that's what prompts the kids to decide to run away. And all the shenanigans happen. They have their emotional dealings and whatnot, and trying to dodge, like, adults left and right and whatnot.
Yeah.
Then there's, like, a big twist near the end and shit.
The first 18 issues are actually really good, because, I mean, they do encounter a bunch of the regular superheroes, and realistically, the character Molly's actually a mutant. I don't know what they're going to do with her in the TV series.
Oh, really?
So that's why she kind of shows up as an adult in the X-Men crossovers, too. But yeah, Molly Hayes, who there actually is Molly Hernandez, I believe, in the new series, actually a mutant. The blonde, her parents are actually aliens, who, in the comic books, they're tied to, like, the Kree, I believe. They're tied, like, those characters would be more tied to, like, what you would see in Guardians of the Galaxy now. And the Skrulls, too, because in later issues, she meets a Skrull prince who he was supposed to marry her, like, you know, arranged marriage and shit. But she's, like, lesbian, so he's a shapeshifter, so he just becomes a woman for her. Which is actually neat. The one white dude, his parents are mad scientists. The girl with the velociraptor pet, her parents are actually time travelers. And whereas Alex, the black kid, his parents were originally just local criminals. But yeah, but what's cool about the comic book is they use them as a reason to explain why there's very little Marvel guys on the West Coast. It's because the Pride controlled all the crime on the West Coast. And they would eventually run into, like, Cloak and Dagger. They've had some pretty decent run-ins. When Molly knocked the fuck out of Wolverine, I think Wolverine said, "Don't ever tell anybody this ever happened to me." But yeah, I mean, I liked the book when I got in, but Marvel spent a good 2 years kind of fucking them over by breaking up the team. They ended the book, like, the last volume on a fucking cliffhanger, which they completely ignored when they made them appear in other books.
Yeah.
And then they tried to kill off various members of the team, including one character would show up who was Victor, who was the son of Ultron.
Yeah.
So, but I'm looking forward to it because it was, like, the first Marvel thing I got back into when I was hardcore buying comics. At the same time, the first DC thing I got into hardcore buying comics was formerly known as the Justice League, which was a re-team of the guys who did the comedy version of Justice League. So Ralph Dibny was in it, and currently in The Flash, and I'm digging it. Nice. The Flash, Ralph Dibny, the guy that got playing him, is almost exactly like you. He seems on the fucking comic book.
I think he's in. Yeah, I think he's in another episode of The Flash this week, right?
Yeah, he's in the current one. He's making fun of their crappy bachelor party because that's go to a strip club.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Because I need to watch that.
There's a picture of him that says number one customer at the strip club.
Wow. Okay. And you mentioned Cloak and Dagger.
Yeah, they have a TV series too.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Yeah, they got a TV series. And
I don't know if they're going to be crossing over with the fucking Runaways because in the book
because like they're the same fucking demographic though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Cloak and Dagger in the comics were the adult ones, and they were because they kind of knew where the Runaways came from because they were Runaways themselves, so they tried to help them out a few times.
Yeah.
But now they're the same age in the Freeform TV series. I don't know about them. That trailer, I was like, I don't know about this. All right. Is there anything else we want to plug, or do we just want to go to the our plugs?
Yeah, that's about it. I don't have shit. Okay. So, Rantium Radio on Twitter at rantiumradio.com. You can find us 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Of course, The Rant, Freaks and FX Turnbook of Throwbacks, and other podcasts can be found on the website as well. And past episodes can be checked out on their archives. For me, Doomsday. 519.tumblr.com at Joey Doomsday on Twitter, Doomsday Space 519 on YouTube, Doomsday Gorilla, spelled as in PWG's Gorilla, on YouTube as my secondary channel, Doomsday Gorilla on Instagram, and at Joey Doomsday on Doomsday at Joey Doomsday 519 on Snapchat, and of course. I may have a new video coming out, so you can check me out on any of the various social medias that I've mentioned just now to see when I'm posting that shit, and that's about it.
Alright, and I am at Twitter at CM Towns, on Instagram as I.goth, and Pootie is still posting from the NNZ on Twitter, so
yeah, NNZ, yeah,
hopefully we'll be
at NNZ Podcast.
NNZ Podcast. Hopefully you'll be free from all that book learning to be here for previewing Survivor Series. We're talking about Survivor Series.
Yeah, man.
So we'll see.
But it's getting closer and closer to finals time, so it might be rough for him.
Yeah, it probably won't. If he shows, it probably won't be till closer to December.
Yeah.
Or in December.
In maybe mid-December. Actually, not even mid-December, probably like late December. And even then, he might be, like, too preoccupied with other shit.
People are busy. That's how it is.
Because if it ain't his school, it's his work. And if it ain't his work, it's probably his personal.
Yeah. All right. So, have a good day and watch wrestling.
end it on a high note. So, hey. Smoke weed every day.